what began as reading cards and then slowly became reading people as an intuitive is now transferring to homes and spaces and environments because they hold so much history of the people that once lived there or the energy was built, the ways that we choose to decorate, all of it carries a little bit of a vibration.
Hi, I'm Melanie Barr. Welcome back to the She Built It podcast, your go-to place to empower you to live the life and business that you crave. I'm here to talk about everything from having the courage to make life and career leaps to the details of how to lead effectively, create successful teams, implement strategies for growth, and infuse tech innovation. I'm here to celebrate your wins and navigate through your challenges. I live in the city now, but I grew up in a town of 1,000 people. I've navigated major life leaps, a senior level corporate career, worked in professional sports, and now as a successful entrepreneur who loves business, technology, family, and making meaningful connections with you and the She Built It community. I also love a good workout and dose of self-care. Magic happens when we focus on the part of ourselves and our business that brings us joy. So turn up the audio, open your favorite notes app, grab your favorite drink, and here we go. Welcome back to the She Built It podcast. Thank you for joining us, Kate. You are an intuitive tarot reader, author, and mentor, and I'm so excited to dive into our conversation because I don't know much about tarot.
I started reading tarot for my own personal practice and exploration about 10 years ago. And then eventually it found its way into my work by way of a side hustle. I've been an entrepreneur for about 8 years now, then eventually was offering mentorship and coaching. And I was always infusing tarot subtly, offering card readings to my clients. And it was around the time of the pandemic that I decided to fully pivot. I created a course teaching the cards because I finally felt comfortable enough to teach the meanings of each one. I was starting to write the beginning preliminary drafts of my book, more of just a dream at that point, and acquiring clients through word of mouth and growing and expanding my content and my reach in that specific area. So it was slow and subtle at first. It was something that was more so a complement to what I was already doing. And then when I felt the call to completely invest my time and my energy into it, I did. But it was obviously scary. People are going to have their ideas and their stigmas around it, but it was really enjoyable to lean into the thing that I realize now I always wanted to be doing.
And it's interesting. I do admit you are the first tarot reader that we've had on the podcast. But when I looked at your Instagram and I started thinking about the home and numerology, our spaces really do provoke feelings and can bring out certain parts and sides of us and can help us run a family life or build a business, depending on the space. It was interesting to learn my home is an 8.
That's a very abundant number. So I'm realizing in regard to that question as well, that's a newer area that I'm starting to explore. Home and spaces have always intrigued me creatively. I love setting up a space to be really inviting and I enjoy hosting. What began as reading cards and then slowly became reading people as an intuitive is now transferring to homes and spaces and environments because they hold so much history of the people that once lived there or the energy was built, the ways that we choose to decorate, all of it carries a little bit of a vibration, I think. So it's been really fun to start dabbling in that, combining feng shui and my studies and certification there, allowing everything I do to have this intuitive through line, so to speak.
And you also got me thinking, I can think so much better when my home is clean. When my home is scattered, my mind is scattered, it feels like life is scattered. And then one other thing that you got me thinking about, we own two homes. One is a family home where I grew up, built in 1927. You can imagine the history of that home. And then we built our home, but I wanted a rounded door. And the architect kept saying, that's not traditional Cape Cod. And I kept saying, I don't care. I think it's because it makes it more welcoming for me. And then I didn't even realize this, but the house that was built in 1927 also has a rounded front door.
Interesting. Okay. So you want that really soft, welcoming, more rounded edges and corners relate to the water element in feng shui. It's a little softer, a little bit more feminine and healing. Intuitively, you were drawn to something that feels really sacred and welcoming in that way.
It's interesting because I've never thought about that. And anyone listening, thinking about the spaces around you and the feeling that you want your spaces to bring in order to have the most success in whatever it is you're doing.
And it also shows we like what we like. We have certain preferences that we can't even really understand where it came from. But for you, it's you enjoy the look of a rounded door. And that's like your way of bringing more of your personality into your space too.
You wrote a book, The Inner Tarot. Tell us about it. And what do you hope readers learn and discover as they read it?
So The Inner Tarot is a workbook in my own story, and there too, a little sprinkle of memoir in there, teaching the 78 tarot cards. So this is a practice that dates back to the 15th century, has a long history of fortune telling and divination and all of that. It's mystical and magical and powerful. I wanted this book to be a resource for readers of any level to feel like they are really living and embodying their tarot. And what I mean by that is I want readers to use the practices that I offer with each card definition to make it more experiential and more of a practice. I really believe that the tarot deck is a helpful tool for self-reflection, empowered self-healing. It's a way to get closer with yourself and your own energy and build that self-trust. While we often think of it as something that offering readings to people, it is a chance to become more intimate in your own inner dialogue, which is how I positioned the book to be more an offering for the individual.
And with the pace we're moving today with technology and social media, it's never been more important to be in touch with who we are on the inside. And walk us through what a tarot reading looks like for someone who's never done one.
It's very dependent on the reader and their style, but typically there's some sort of intention setting or space setting to create that safe container, so to speak. So a chance for people to drop into their bodies, take a couple deep breaths, find a way to set the tone for that space in the conversation that might begin. And then from there, choosing cards based on a question. I'm a big believer that we can go into a reading just generally and seeing what comes out, but the best and most supportive readings have a clear question in mind. We ask something of the cards, shuffle the deck, and pull until it feels right. So for me, I usually pull a decent number of cards. For people who are very new, they might choose just one or two to get started. From there, opening up the conversation with the person and asking them follow-up questions, validating some of the energies that are coming through. And it becomes this puzzle. All of the cards are speaking to each other, and it's a chance for us to then explore. And it becomes a little bit of a choose your own adventure at that point.
As it relates to your book, what was your favorite part of the writing process when you were writing?
I loved the routine of waking up and knowing that I was going to work on it each day. I found it very helpful as a creative to have a deadline and to get to fully immerse myself during that time. I was gathering different bits and pieces of my book for years prior to getting the book deal, but that was definitely the kick I needed to sit down and make it work. And I tried to romanticize that process and make it enjoyable in the mornings. I would do a gratitude practice because I wanted to continue to write and transfer the energy of my love for this work and my love for tarot into every single page. So I enjoyed how I found my own way to make a stressful deadline a really beautiful ritual.
And that's really good advice, because I bet your writing came out so much better than it would have had you been putting all that pressure on yourself.
Totally. And I think it's with anything creative, a deadline or a specific to-do list is not usually the best environment to create from. So trying to counterbalance that in the ways that I could.
I had someone on the podcast one time say that she asked herself, am I in a good flow? Am I enjoying the flow I'm in? Instead of, am I getting enough done? And I thought that's a really interesting way to position it.
Such a great reposition. And I found ways too, when I was out of flow, recognizing when that would happen, taking the breaks I needed. I would go for walks at the beach, write things in my notes app and stay present with it, but not putting pressure on it.
Do you have any advice for either current or aspiring authors?
Really believe in your idea. Be patient with the idea as well, because what you're going to do when you're in the position of potentially pitching it to publishers or preparing to market the book, you need to know it as intimately as you know yourself, the content, the purpose behind it. So I would say don't rush that process. I wanted to write a book long before I was even a tarot reader. And when I started working with the cards and working with clients and pivoting my business, I started to get hints that this was what I was going to write about. And I wanted to rush it, but I realize now the book that I was meant to write with The Inner Tarot would have never been the product that was created a year or two before. So I really think it's about getting so intimate with the actual idea and challenging the idea for yourself, because on the other side, the editors are going to challenge it and the publishing house you work with is going to challenge it. So you need to know what your boundaries are.
And that's such good advice, because sometimes you read it over and over and you think, I don't know if I can read this again, but you can communicate it so much better if you know every aspect of it so well.
Yeah, it's ingrained in you.
How are tarot and intuition linked?
So tarot is a physical, tangible practice. What I love about it is it's very grounding, because this work is a little esoteric, this idea of channeling energy or connecting psychically. It's very difficult for us to prove, which is why a lot of us get intimidated by it or worry that we're doing it wrong. And I think what's so nice about the tarot cards is once we get over the fear of what could come out and the messages that exist in the deck, which some of them are a little uncomfortable, once we get over that fear, we can recognize that the cards are validating something we already knew. So if you're shuffling and pulling and you see a card in front of you that means exactly what you're experiencing, you have to trust your intuition. It's right there in front of you. You can physically see it. So I think that's what I enjoy about them, is they're very confirmational, especially to someone who's new to intuitive work.
It's so interesting because I have twins, and it's said sometimes that twins can feel each other's pain. Sometimes I'll say,
totally.
Did you feel that? Like, Elliot had surgery. Were you feeling anything? And then you have that time when you're thinking of someone that you haven't talked to in years, and all of a sudden they call you. So I do believe that we are connected in certain ways to certain people in certain times and spaces, because how would that happen otherwise?
Completely. And I think we do have a lot of examples of it happening spontaneously or serendipitously, where it's out of our control. And I think where working with a tarot deck, say you create this daily practice where you pull a card and you reflect and you journal or something, it's allowing you to see that your intuition is accessible whenever you want to as well. You don't have to just wait for that random moment where it comes in and you weren't expecting it. So that part feels empowering to me too. It's showing you that intuition is a muscle we can strengthen.
And for business leaders and owners, it's so important that we trust ourselves.
Yes, every second of every day.
On your social pages and in your book, you talk about the importance of manifesting. How can someone make manifesting work for them?
I think manifesting has, especially in the spiritual community, become a really big topic, understandably, that's leading us toward a really powerful, beautiful life. To me, I've seen the most success in my manifestation process when I get to know myself and live authentically. So it's more about attracting and magnetizing who you are so that the right things appear, versus speaking into existence the biggest dream that you want to fulfill. And it's a combination of both. I'm not, by no means am I telling anyone not to set lofty goals or aspire to certain things, but the real power and the potency of what is possible exists in that authentic life and choosing and living and showing up each day in that energy and choosing to be that person. I'd say manifestation is as much a self-healing practice and it's inner work just as much as it's outer exploration.
It's so true. And I just went through a rebrand for the She Built It podcast and I pulled it all back in because I've had other people do things for me and that is great. But I thought, I'm going to do something that feels so authentically me. And when you do that, you put out to the world the best version of you and the best version of yourself and the best version of your business.
I love that you had that experience. And it's so true. Whenever I've worked on my branding or my website or anything, I try to make it feel like an extension of me. And especially when I was starting to work in the more spiritual space, there were certain colors and aesthetics that I thought I had to adhere to, because that's what everyone expects from a tarot reader. It's supposed to look witchy and mystical, and it's not me.
Protecting your energy is the best thing you can do for your mental health. Tell us about how you work with your clients to encourage them to protect it.
I talk about boundary setting a lot because that is a form of protection. We talk about boundaries in many areas of life with our work-life balance, things like that. Those boundaries do protect us from overdoing it and giving ourselves too much energetically to something, someone, a project. But beyond that, when they want to take that to the next level, I'll teach my clients different meditation skills, visualizations, because when you set intention, even when you take the time for one moment, one breath of the day to say, I am protected, and you sit in that for a second and you ground yourself in that truth, it becomes your truth. there's a variety of ways you can protect your energy. That's probably a topic for a few different podcasts as far as the rituals, but even just showing up and doing something to claim that and to honor that within yourself can work wonders. But even setting boundaries with your technology or how late you work, all of those protect you and keep you from being depleted.
And it's so interesting that we're talking about this because I've started to do 5-minute meditations. I am a mom of twins and it's hard to set that boundary even when I want to. And I told myself I have 5 minutes in the morning. And when I don't do it, I feel it. I feel a little more scattered throughout the day. And it's even if you only have 5 minutes, it's so great. And then I'm also trying to say yes to things more this coming out of COVID, not going out, not doing as many things as we did. But then I also had to remind myself to also say no.
Yeah. The power of no is really strong. No is a beautiful word. Yeah, I agree. It's so important. I agree that socially, the pendulum swung for me as well, where after that, I was like saying yes to everything and going on the friends' trips and things. And it gets very exhausting. So knowing your limit.
Magic happens when we focus on the part of ourselves and our business that brings us joy. What is one way that you make sure to find and live your joy?
One way that I find and live my joy is definitely finding ways to practice what I preach when I'm offering suggestions for practices or ideas, meditations, movement, whatever it is that I'm telling my clients to engage in and make time for, I also have to engage in and make time for, and that self-care and stuff like that. So it's funny because I am very entrepreneurial in nature and I have to remind myself that my business is rooted in something that's very soft and very sacred. It's really healing work too. So finding that balance is important and holding myself accountable. The things that I love most though about my work, the joy of it comes from hearing people's stories, consistently engaging and learning from other people's perspectives just lights me up because it gives me more context for when I am in that intimate one-on-one setting with someone. It gives me more understanding of the place they might be moving from or what they might be feeling, even if they can't relate. So whether it's reading or podcasts, listening to them, consistently finding new perspectives on the very complicated human experience. We're all flawed and imperfect, and I enjoy hearing the stories.
I love that. Thank you for joining us today, telling us about tarot and manifesting and how we can protect our energy. Can you please tell our listeners how and where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, Kate Van Horn, or my website, katevanhorn.com, and my book, theinnertarot.com, or The Inner Tarot on Instagram.
Thank you for joining us today. I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me at hello@shebuiltit.com, on our She Built It website, or at She Built It on social. Thank you to my editor, Rich Streffolino, who always makes us sound good. Until next time, let nothing stop you from experiencing the life and business that you crave.